students won't soon forget their exercise and empathy. She concluded, "This bag hangs by my door to remind them that we all have baggage. We will leave it at the door. As they left, I told them they are not alone, they are loved, and we have each other's back." That is one heck of an idea. I hope teachers, you know what, folks, you're listening right now and you heard that story. You might pass this along to your teachers. This is a great idea. A great idea, because I'm going to tell you right now, and I'm not trying to knock teachers at all. And I'm not trying to knock administrators. I'm not trying to knock anybody, because I don't even know what people are going through either. I guarantee you, administrators, teachers, even school social workers, counselors, Joe Blow in, out in the middle, you know, North Central Kansas, Jane Doe, whoever it may be, Dusty Dynas, Wade Gerstner, none of us have any clue. We might think we do. We have no clue what some kids are going through. We have none. This is a pretty good activity that might allow somebody that's festering and getting angry about things or frustrated. It might be a great release activity to get it out there.
Yeah.
What a great idea. Fantastic. Let's share this story. We're going to share it on social media. I'm going to tag Dusty. We're going to share it. Spread the word. And perhaps you can use this in your classroom. And if you're sitting there going, well, I'm stealing somebody's idea. The biggest,
what life's about.
The biggest sign of flattery is when you take somebody's idea and make it even better. So I say proceed.
Yes.
That is awesome. That's our good news of the day. And what a good person, the teacher, Karen Lowe, doing something.
Trying to bounce outside to the 30. He's loose. To midfield. To the 30. 20. 10. Touchdown. 90 yards.
You see the power and the speed of Travis Etienne.
Oh, football is back, baby. I have to admit, I enjoyed watching Clemson last night. I didn't watch any of the Chiefs preseason game. I'm like, why? None of the best players were playing. Packers didn't suit up 36 of their players, for crying out loud. So I watched a little bit of college football. I didn't watch the whole game, but I watched that play. It was pretty exciting. Clemson not showing any signs of they're going to fall off at all. In fact, they might even be better. They beat Georgia Tech last night, 52-14, number one team in America, making a statement. Georgia Tech, a team that went bowling last year, went 7-6, and Clemson absolutely destroyed them last night.
Usually when you open up with a conference game like that, they're like it's a little slow out of the gates, you know, and I mean, you expect to win, but not like that. They just blew them out of the water right away. I mean, it wasn't even close.
They had some turnovers, but they nearly threw a pick six. Trevor Lawrence made a bad pass, hustled, and knocked the guy out at the four. If he just would have hung his head, the guy would have scored. And so Clemson put the goal line stand together and stopped him fourth and goal at the one. So Trevor Lawrence's hustle after making a mistake helped erase that mistake. And then the defense looked really good. Defense looked really good last night for Clemson. Although Georgia Tech is predictable. They don't throw the ball. They're one-dimensional. But Clemson won 52-14. Another notable game last night was Central Florida. Just keeps on rolling as they win last night over Florida A&M 62-0. And Texas A&M took care of Texas State by a final of 41-7. And Utah knocked off BYU last night 30-12. Games tonight that you might be interested in. Wisconsin at South Florida, interesting non-con right off the bat for Wisconsin. Tulsa's at Michigan State, and Colorado State at Colorado. We know John Bowden is going to be tuned into that one at ESPN tonight at 10 o'clock or 9 o'clock. I don't know if this
is 9 o'clock our time. Yeah,
okay. And then Oklahoma State at Oregon State. So first chance to look at a Big 12 team and see how Oklahoma State looks early, and that'll be 9:30 tonight on FS1. And then, of course, football coming up tomorrow for KU, K-State, Nebraska. Oklahoma opens up on Sunday. We'll get to that in a moment. But first, we want to start with local sports as we are just about ready to get everything really rolling next week on a short week with Labor Day on Monday. And, Dusty, today you focused on what?
Northern Plains League Volleyball, because there's five MPL teams that will be starting their seasons here today. So St. John's will be over at Osborne taking on the Lady Bulldogs there. It's just one varsity five-set best-of-five match. And then Thunder Ridge is at Natoma against Natoma and Chase here today. So the Lady Longhorns and Lady Blue Jays are all getting set to get out there on the court today. I've got a full Northern Plains League Volleyball preview at katycountry94.com. Today we'll probably focus on the two teams in our immediate area that are getting going, and that would be St. John's Tipton and Thunder Ridge. Thunder Ridge had a great season last year, just one match away from making it to the state tournament. They do lose four seniors that contributed on their team, that includes the middle, the first team all-leaguer Elizabeth Hardacre, who's now playing at Kansas Wesleyan. But they do have lots of experience back, and they have a new coach this year. Allison Cole was an assistant last year with Bruce Hardacre and took over as the head coach this year. She's a 2010 graduate of Northern Valley, played at Highland and Southwest Oklahoma State in college, and then ended up out here back in the area at Thunder Ridge. So she's looking forward to this year and feels like her team has a pretty good group coming in this year and getting ready for this 2019 season.
We'll have kind of a different look this year. We'll be able to spread the ball out a little bit more. We'll have some really good leadership from our seniors, Jaden Bowden, Brennan, Iva, but we've got some key players returning back in Rainey Raby and Madeline Davis. And so between them, and then we'll add in a couple other players, they'll fit right in, and I expect big leadership from those girls coming back, and they want that. I'm really excited, and they're working hard in practice, and they're learning new things from me.
So again, Allison Cole, the head coach of Thunder Ridge. They open out again today against Natoma and Chase in Natoma. Action starts at 4 o'clock there in Natoma today. I think varsity first match will be at 5 for the Lady Longhorns. As I mentioned also, coming up here today, the St. John's Tipton Lady Blue Jays are at Osborne. Here, 4 o'clock start time with JV, and then varsity would play then after that with that best-of-five match. Lady Jays were the only team from the Northern Plains League that made it to the state tournament in 1A last year. Didn't make it out of pool play, had another great season, and they do lose their two all-league middles, and Kara Eilert and Elle Eilert both were around 6 foot, so they'll lose some height this year. But they do have Caitlin Strong returning at setter. She's a three-year starter now at that position, and Coach Marcy Key talking about how important that is to have Caitlin back at setter.
A setting position is very important, so you know her leadership and her experience is going to help us out tremendously. But the one thing that I always focus on is you got to have that first pass. And if we can't pass the ball well, it doesn't matter how good of a setter you have. You know, you're not going to be successful. So, you know, we have to adjust and get the ball to Caitlin. If it's in her vicinity, she's going to be able to set it and get it to where it needs to go.
So again, St. John's Tipton starting at Osborne here this afternoon in volleyball. One other team that fared really well last year was Sylvan Lucas. They only lost four matches a year ago, but 10 of their 12 players were seniors. So it'll be interesting to see what Linda Herring can do down there with Sylvan Lucas, to see if she can get them back up and having that same level of success. We're talking to the other coaches around the league. Teams to watch out for this year would be Osborne, Lincoln, and Lakeside are three teams that I'm really hearing a lot from the coaches about could continue to make that move back up toward the top. Osborne and Lincoln are two teams that had struggled for a while, but both had 8-win improvements last year, and they're trying to make that next step again here this year. Interesting nugget about Lincoln, Shaylin Crone is their new head coach from Bullitt High School, 2015 grad.
Really?
She was the assistant last year, and she's the head coach now for Lincoln this year. So she'll lead that team, and I think she'll do great things down there for the Lady Leopard volleyball team.
Pretty cool.
Yep.
All right. Well, all of that available. You got to connect on nccatsports.com.
I'm going to do that later here. Okay. I wanted to make sure it posted on our Kitty Country when I posted it.
All right. So
you can find it on my Twitter and Facebook pages as well.
All right. KittyCountry94.com, nccatsports.com, or social media. Dusty has that posted for you. Football jamborees taking place. First of all, let's explain to people what a jamboree is, because this is new this year.
Yeah, it's something exciting for especially the 8-man coaches who can't scrimmage against each other very much during regular practices. They can finally get out there and go against other teams now, yeah, instead of just their own intra-squad scrimmages, which is the rules in Kansas in the past did not allow you to scrimmage against another school at all during the offseason or the preseason. You had to wait until that first game. So it'll be other schools scrimmaging against each other, and what they do is they have the max number of plays that you can run for any school is 36. So if there's four teams at a jamboree, which there are most of these jamborees, then you can go 12 plays against each school that you're going to go up against. Mm-hmm. So it's not a lot of plays, but it's enough to have a chance to run some different things against somebody else other than yourself, and to get that, try to simulate that live game action. Again, the maximum number of schools is 36. They'll have things that they're divided into to periods and sessions. Each session can be those 12 plays, as I mentioned. Then you have to take a 5-minute break in between each session, kind of what it's going to go like. So if you want all the rules and regulations, it's all posted at ncksports.com. Again, a lot of coaches are looking forward to these jamborees here tonight. Sylvan Lucas is hosting one this evening. They'll start theirs at 5:30 with Tescott and Victoria. At 7 o'clock will be the start time for the rest of these. Lincoln is hosting St. John's, Tipton, Logan, Palco, and Solomon. Osborne has a pretty interesting one at Clifton Clyde. Clifton Clyde, Hanover, Wakefield, and Osborne are at that one. And then also Thunder Ridge, as we heard when we were talking there on the Stump Waterside Wake Up, guys. Thunder Ridge has Rock Hill, Stockton, and Wilson coming into Kensington tonight for their jamboree. So those are the immediate area teams today. And then tomorrow morning at 9:30, Beloit will go to Concordia, and also there will be Chapman and Ellsworth. So coaches are really looking forward to this opportunity, and I'm going to go down. I think I'm going to head down to Lincoln County tonight and kind of check those two out, just kind of see what it's like and get a better idea of what the coaches think after they actually do it, and see if it lives up to what they wanted it to be. And I think that all coaches around the state are really excited about doing this.
It's interesting, some of these that are matched up with each other. Like, you know, I think Hanover Osborne jumps out to me.
if you play the same way you did last year, you might meet
see
each other
again in the championship. Beloit Concordia. Beloit's at Concordia for a jamboree. And
that was the
rivals.
Most interesting one.
That one
to me
surprised
is that
me.
They're going. Because they're going to play each other.
Yeah,
in
district play. I know. That.
Usually, because everybody, all the 8-man coaches I was talking to, it's like, yeah, we want to do this, but we want to like stay away from teams that are on our schedule.
Right.
So that means people are going to have to travel for these things, too.
Did Thunder Ridge play Rock Hills?
They don't.
Okay, they don't. See, that was
west,
one of
and Rock Hills is east.
That's what I thought, but I want to double check on that. Yeah, it is an interesting dynamic with Beloit. I mean, because he don't want to show much. It's like a preseason game, but yet you want to work on a few things. Interesting. Well, all that is posted for the Jamboree schedule, ncksports.com. That's ncksports.com. Also, our broadcast schedule is up as well. We'll start our season next Friday with Lakeside at Thunder Ridge on KD Country 94, kdcountry94.com, Beloit at Fairbury, Nebraska on Z96.3 Lake, and live video stream at ncksports.com, Beloit Beloit Trojan Channel. And we'll have locker room chats beginning next Wednesday and Thursday. We talk to football coaches at 5:15 on KD Country 94. And then we'll have the Football Express brought to you by Cunningham Telephone Cable on Friday at 5:40, previewing the matchups. 6:30 pregame, kickoff at 7, and then the State Farm Insurance Local High School Scoreboard Show at 10:05. It's a week from tonight. Nebraska started high school football. Nebraska starts tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So Fairbury, Nebraska is going to have a game under their belt. And then the state of Kansas will start next Friday. So for all the schedules and much more, previous year standings, it's all there, whether it be volleyball, cross country, tennis, football. Hopefully I'm not leaving anything out. It's all there for you, ncksports.com. Thanks to Dusty for entering all of those schedules. Anything else local sports-wise?
I think that covers it.
Okay, so we slide into college football, where tomorrow the KU Jayhawks will begin the Les Miles era. 10:30 pregame on your home for the Jayhawks in north central Kansas, Z96.3 The Lake. And yeah, Kansas, what do you know? New coach, still don't know who their quarterback is. Well, maybe they do. They're not letting anybody know as KU goes into our season opener at home against Indiana State without Puka Williams, who's suspended for just the one game. And here's Les Miles on rotating quarterbacks.
Yeah, what you want to do is give every rep you can to the starter, right? The good news is we've been in this rotation for some time, and it's allowed us to look at and verify over time who the best quarterback was and or is. And so you weigh the differences in getting somebody all the reps or really, you know, defining who the best quarterback is.
So we don't know who's going to start. We don't know who's going to finish the game tomorrow for KU under center or in the shotgun formation. What about Indiana State? That's the opponent tomorrow at 11 a.m. in Lawrence. Les Miles tells us about the Sycamores.
You know, they were on a 5-game winning streak, and they've done a great job. The quarterback is the leader, if you will, and has the ability to throw the ball, and he does and can, you know, pull it down and run. So, you know, he's the trigger man, and he's pretty talented.
Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, our guest every Thursday on the Sports Ticket at 9:30, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency in Beloit. And Brian gave us a little bit of an overview of Indiana State, the opponent tomorrow for the Jayhawks.
It's a team you would love to do play-by-play for, because a year ago, not only did they win their last five games, but six of their last seven came down to who had the ball last.
Oh, yeah.
And four of those five, they literally won it on the last drive of the game, like, you know, heroics at the end with Boyle at quarterback. And so he's a talented, crafty, savvy, clutch type signal caller. And they've got a kid named Jonas Griffith who's had back-to-back 100 tackle seasons at middle linebacker that is a big-time talent that, according to people up there, had he played more than 2 years of organized football prior to college, he would have been in a major conference school right now. And so he's definitely not your typical Missouri Valley-type player. And, you know, the quarterback, Boyle, started his career at Iowa, so he's not either. So it's definitely a team that, much like Nichols a year ago, scares you with just how capable they actually are. And from a scheduling standpoint, I wish we could have more Rhode Islands and fewer Nichols and Indiana States for the opener, if I'm being honest. But, you know, it'll test us, and it will show us, you know, exactly where we're at, because this is a upper echelon, second-tier team. And, you know, Coastal, Boston College, to follow, they're both going to be big challenges. UBC was in a bowl game last year, and so this is a nice first test to get you set for that. But do not be surprised, Jayhawk fans that are making the trek over, if this is a, you know, one-score game in the fourth quarter and comes down to the very end. I mean, that's what the odds makers say. That's what a lot of folks that study the FCS landscape think that this club is capable of. And so I'm expecting a dogfight on Saturday morning.
Okay, so the Jayhawks, you know, this is a game that if they lose, well, the excitement dies pretty quickly.
I raise my eyebrows as you say.
If they lose, I think the excitement dies pretty quickly, yeah. And you can forget about a bowl game. Just like that.
Oh, yeah.
If they win close game, I think they'll be concerned, even though, like Brian Haney said, we expect it to be a close game. If KU wins convincingly, then people might start, even more people jumping on the wagon, even though it is Indiana State. But I just pulled up KUSports.com, the lead story by Benton Smith. KU football offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach Les Koning wants a quarterback who can manage a game. That just gives me the heebie-jeebies, because I don't like quarterbacks who are only trusted to try to manage a game. That means you don't believe in them.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what Alex Smith was. He was a game manager for most of his career. He hated the label, but it was true because he never took many chances.
Yeah. You might hate it, but
it was more about be conservative. Don't turn the ball over. You might have a guy open, but it could be a big play. But if you don't think you can make it, don't do it. So basically, play the game with caution, which I don't think you want your players to play in that mode. That's just me. Now, but if you're not very good, if your quarterbacks aren't very good, I guess that's all you have left is to manage the game, and that's what keeps me from having KU do better than 4-8 this year. It's the quarterback situation, and right now, nobody's been close to perfect, nowhere close to being really great in practices. A McVitie or Carter Stanley, and now the story is their OC wants a quarterback who can manage a game. Now, here's the one thing I've said about Les Miles. I understand the excitement. I do. He had a really good career coaching Oklahoma State, won a national championship at LSU, albeit two losses that year. That was just a weird year. But he won a national championship, in fairness to him. But if you go back, and I remember watching LSU, when I watched LSU play football, what infuriated me about LSU was their offense was just not very good. Their defense was great, and it was like Marty Ball in a way. It was quarterback, don't make a mistake, run the ball, shorten the game. Kind of sounds like Bill Snyder a little bit. And rely on your defense and special teams to make plays. Now, that's not really sexy anymore in today's college football landscape. It really isn't.
Yeah.
And so when I look at Les Miles, and maybe I haven't done the research, but what great LSU quarterback has he coached? Jamarcus Russell was number one overall pick, but he only had one good year at LSU. and then flamed out in the NFL. What great quarterback has LSU had? What year did LSU have a great offense? Even when they won the national championship, they did not have a great offense that year.
I honestly don't even remember their quarterbacks other than Mettenberger.
Like, yeah, and he made the NFL, but he wasn't super great.
And wasn't he a Butler before he went there? I think that's probably that's probably why I remember
him.
Yeah,
I think you're right.
Yeah, and Jamarcus Russell.
And they've had some highly touted recruited quarterbacks come in, and they just don't.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's a Les Miles thing or the coaching staff thing or what, but if I'm – that's one thing I would be concerned, and that was the one concern I had when Les Miles came to Kansas. Well, one, I thought he might not stay a long time. That's my other concern if I'm a KU fan, is how long is he going to last and he turns it around. But he's got to find the right quarterback. But if he does, is he going to trust him? Is he going to let the guy fly? Is he going to adapt to the new, more wide-open offensive passing game in college football? I think that's a question. And I don't think you're going to get the answer this year because I don't think they have anybody that's able to do it. But in the future, if they recruit somebody that can do it, will Les Miles and his staff allow them to like play like Patrick Mahomes in a way? You know, you might throw a few picks, but you're going to make some unbelievable plays.
Yeah.
And I know you had concern with Andy Reid with Mahomes. You know, would he try to make him more of a game manager? And Andy Reid has not. He's done a great job of letting him go. Which means he didn't trust Alex Smith.
Exactly. That was a pretty perfect example last year that he did not trust Alex Smith.
Exactly. So when you want a quarterback to manage the game, it means you don't trust your quarterback to make big plays. So you're going to rely on your defense, which has question marks. You rely on your special teams, which has question marks. And you're going to rely on running the ball, and you don't have Puka Williams tomorrow. Although they do have some good backs. KU does. That's one of their strengths. So I think there's concern for KU, and I hate to see that. That term, manage a game already, and the season hasn't even begun.
Yeah,
that, to me, is not a good sign.
And I know that K-State had some success doing it, but recently they really haven't. You know, it's like in this league, game-managing quarterbacks just aren't going to win for you. This is not going to happen in the Big 12, I don't think. You got to have playmakers there that are willing to make mistakes. You got to be able to take those chances down the field, or else you're not going to have a chance to win the way you want to win. That's the way I feel about the Big 12 right now. I just don't, like, you know, like I said, I mean, you have a coach that understands how they're doing it, like K-State did with Bill Snyder there for a while. I mean, you can get by. You can win games. You can go to bowl games and win bowl games. But, I mean, if you really want to be upper echelon class of the Big 12, how many game-managing quarterbacks are playing?
Well,
Kyler Murray and Baker Mayfield were not game-managing quarterbacks. Jalen Hurts won't be. You know, all these guys, Sam Ellinger's not.
None of the Texas Tech quarterbacks ever been. Baylor.
You know, they might be system
Iowa
quarterbacks,
State.
But they're not game-managing quarterbacks at Texas Tech. They sling the ball around from Cliff Kingsbury all the way to Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, it's just like.
Oklahoma State doesn't have game-managing quarterbacks.
They don't. I mean, you don't hear that term with high-powered, high-flying offenses, which is what the Big 12 is. At its best, West Virginia might have some game-managing quarterbacks in the past. I don't know.
Well, this was a Koenig, an offensive coordinator, quarterbacks coach at KU, said to KUSports.com, you got to be able to manage a game. It's not so much the ability that you put on the field. It's how you manage the game with the quarterback position. During his more than three decades in the coaching ranks, Koenig has said he's witnessed quarterbacks who possess tremendous amounts of ability, cost their team victories with their in-game decisions. Then you see the guy who doesn't have any ability, which that's a nice one, and he just moves down the field the whole time and everybody's playing for him. Well, sounds like Alex Smith. I mean, except Alex Smith was a good quarterback, but he was a game manager. None of these college guys that are game managers obviously are as good as Alex Smith. I think that's a red flag. I'm going to tell you right now. I think it's a gigantic red flag. And I think there's already a problem with the philosophy. And I know they haven't even played a game yet. And maybe the philosophy has to be this way because the quarterbacks aren't very good.
Yeah.
But this better not be a consistent philosophy with the KU coaching staff in the future when they get some top flight. Can you imagine them trying to tell Todd Reesing to be a game managing quarterback?
Yeah.
That would have limited everything that he did.
Yeah.
Can you imagine Andy Reid telling Patrick Mahomes, all right, let's just not mess up here. You know, let's play it safe on 3rd and 4 and let's run the ball.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
No, you don't
it's
win
like,
championships
it, yeah.
that way. You might win 4 games that way. Fine, step in the right direction. But you're not going to win Big 12 titles. You're not going to win conference titles with a game-managing quarterback anymore.
Yeah.
It's the game has changed. You could do that back in 1995, 96, 97 with the Chiefs and Marty Ball, okay? You could do that back then. You could do that back when Les Miles, when LSU and Alabama 9-6. Of course, the SEC was behind the curve when it came to offense, but supposedly the national media was there so far ahead of the curve on defense. No, their offense has stunk. That was part of why teams didn't score. Mm-hmm. The defenses were really good, don't get me wrong, but the offenses weren't great. And the game is all about throwing the football. It's opening up and spreading out the field. It's about making big plays. It's not about 3 yards in a cloud of dust. And it just doesn't work. Rotating quarterbacks does not work in the long term for your program.
No.
And it also doesn't work when you tell your quarterback, just manage the game and don't screw up. Well, when you've told him that, listen, I know as a coach, you tell a kid, hey, whatever you do, just don't make a mistake. Instead of saying, hey, go out there, have fun. If you make a mistake, don't worry about it. You'll make the next play. That's a whole different mental approach, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I don't like this. It's just you're telling me right now, if I'm Thomas McVitie and I'm Carter Stanley, it's like, all right, man, just don't make a mistake. Plus, we're both competing for the job, so whoever makes one more mistake than the other is going to be benched.
Yeah.
Which now reminds me of Skylar Thompson and Alex Delton.
Daniel Sams and Jake Waters.
It just doesn't work, and I don't know why. I mean, I understand KU's got to go rotating quarterbacks because neither one is that great. I get that part. I also get the part that they're not that great. That's why they're going to want them to manage the game. But to come out and just admit this stuff, basically, and saying that they don't have any ability. I mean, that's what he just said. Then you see the guy who doesn't have any ability. He did. He said, then you see the guy who doesn't have any ability. So KU doesn't have any ability at quarterback. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
that's brutally honest, refreshing, but it's disturbing if you're a KU fan.
If that's what you have, it's a philosophy, but don't let that turn into an identity.
It better not be their whole time Les Miles is there.
No.
Well, you're going to have one unbelievable defense.
Yeah. You talk about rotating quarterbacks. Ask guys like Kelly Bryant and Trevor Lawrence last year, and Jalen Hurts. Like those guys, how rotating quarterbacks would work if you're actually trying to win. It doesn't.
Right.
Okay, they lost their jobs and they never played again. So Trevor Lawrence and Tua Tagovailoa are the guys now. You know, and those two guys led their team to the playoff the year before.
Right.
And so you got to have one, and you got to roll with it. And I don't care if it's a close competition anymore at this point in time and in this day and age. You got to roll with one and see what's going to happen. Now, if you go 3-4 games into the season, something's not working out,
right,
then change it up. But you can't sit here continuously pull guys out and put them back in. We saw it plenty last year in Manhattan. So you can't.
That works.
So you've got to pick between McVitie and Stanley right now. Let them play a game or two.
Stick with them and go for a while.
And if it doesn't work, then go to the next guy.
Right.
We saw it with KU all year last year.
Oh, KU's guys done
too.
It.
So it's not KU, not anything new in Lawrence, but you don't want that. I mean, you can't have that be your identity on offense. You just can't.
It's a new coaching staff, but the quarterback situation is no better right now.
No.
Now, McVitie might be able to surprise us. Carter Stanley is what Carter Stanley is, unless the coaching staff can really coach him up, but he hasn't been able to win the job outright either. So that's not a ringing endorsement for either candidate, and that's what tells you that Les Miles has a ways to go with the program. And they may still be able to win four. Maybe they will find a way to win five games. I don't know. But you in this league, if you don't have a good quarterback, you're in trouble. And I think that applies to any of the Power Five conferences anymore. And the only time I can think of a dual quarterback situation that worked really well was Florida with Chris Leak and Tim Tebow. But Tim Tebow, they didn't jerk in and out all the time. Tim Tebow, a lot of times near the goal line, would come in with the old jump pass or run the football. He didn't throw it a lot. And then they would have a design like he might get a series or something, but it wasn't like, oh right, Chris Leak's got to look over his shoulder because he's not the starter. He was the starter.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
They did it back in the late '90s with Doug Johnson and Jesse Palmer too.
Yeah,
and that was they didn't win the championship, but they were successful.
Right,
like they didn't lose a lot of games. Those are about the only two. Florida's probably the perfect example
of
anything.
The talent
I've ever
they
seen.
Had though. Other than quarterback,
exactly,
too.
And that helps.
Gotta
and the coaching they
it.
Had helps too.
Right,
you know,
sure.
You got Steve Spurrier and Urban Meyer. You know, it's like you've got the guys you need to be able to do those things. So, but if you don't have coaching and all that talent around you, two quarterback systems are never going to work. I mean, it's just you've got to pick a guy, and because that's what always was with the Sams and Waters thing is like your blocking schemes, everything you did as an offensive lineman was different.
Oh, absolutely.
If you had Sams in compared to Waters back when all that was going on.
Right.
It's not quite as different with Thompson and Delton because Skylar can still run the football a little bit, I think a little bit better than Jake Waters could. But that's what is for me, and I'm going to guess that both of these guys have a little bit different skill sets that you'd have to do different things with.
Well, we know Stanley is more of a scrambler and this and that. Okay, so KU has Indiana State tomorrow, pregame 10:30, kickoff at 11 on Z96.3 The Lake. It's just not – doesn't sound too promising, the quarterback situation. Now, can Kansas somehow piecemeal and win four or five games and go in the right direction, then recruit and get a really good quarterback? in the future. And yeah, absolutely. So, you know, make progress. That's the key for Kansas. But holding back progress could be your quarterback. Speaking of that, interesting difference in philosophy. You got two new coaching staffs in the state of Kansas. Of course, the new coaching staff under Les Miles at KU, new coaching staff under Chris Klieman at Kansas State, taking over Bill Snyder. Courtney Messingham was asked about the offensive game plan against Nichols tomorrow night at 6 o'clock at Bill Snyder Family Stadium in Manhattan in the first game of the Chris Klieman era. And we know Bill Snyder's been famous for completely making it super vanilla in the first couple games of the year, especially the first game of the year. And it almost, well, it did cost him one time and nearly cost
against
him.
Against these guys.
Against yeah, and also it cost him against these guys.
North Dakota State, these coaches.
Yeah, these guys, yeah, right. Yeah, I think I mean Nichols. I'm like, they didn't play Nichols.
No, sorry
so,
about
no,
that.
So, yeah. No, they're, again, yeah, they're not playing themselves here, though.
Yeah.
And so Nichols won at KU, first game of the year last year in overtime. I know Kansas wasn't that great, but K-State, you know, had a 5-7 record. First game out of the chute. And so we have seen Kansas State and Bill Snyder, previous regime, be super vanilla first game of the year and had been upset, nearly got upset a few other times. It's Courtney Messingham. How are you going to handle this as offensive coordinator? What's your plan? Are you going to hold something back? Is it going to be vanilla against Nichols tomorrow night?
To be honest with you, now there's things that maybe would not yet be in the game plan per se, but we've pretty much looked at these guys as it's a must-win opportunity, and you got to put everything out there that you need, and so we didn't per se hold anything back or not put anything in.
K-State fans, hold on, buckle your seatbelts. This is going to be a fun ride just hearing these types of things. I mean, you would never hear anything like that under the Bill Snyder regime.
No.
And I'm not saying Bill Snyder regime was horrible. It wasn't. I mean, obviously, Bill Snyder was the greatest college football turnaround in the history of college football. I don't think there's any question. Anybody debates that? I don't know. I don't know what you've been watching for 30 years.
You weren't around, you know.
Yeah, but still, it just gives to show you how far things had gone in the wrong direction.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, yeah, because you lose your first game at home to Nichols. What good was it to hold back everything if you don't win the game? Pretty bad way to start for your fan base and everybody, losing the game. And it's even more important for Les Miles and Chris Klieman, especially, I think, Chris Klieman, to win this game tomorrow. You don't want to start the new regime with a dud against Nichols. You talk about people going to jump off the KSU purple and white bandwagon. Holy cow. The thing will collapse. And Nichols is not a bad football team. As Chris Klieman talks about the FCS stigma, which he knows all about as he had coached at North Dakota State, hey, you know, we're got to be ready.
I don't think that's said anymore. I really don't. You can say what you want about, you know, it's an FCS against, you know, Appalachian State started this thing a long time ago. They went and beat Michigan at their own game. And I've been a part of a number of those things where you're in that locker room and it doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter. This is mano a mano, me against the guy across from you. And I talked to the guys about playing Nichols State. I talked to the guys about playing a quarterback that's been there going on his fourth year. I talk about playing a team that is used to winning, that has that pedigree of expecting to win. I don't talk about we're playing an FCS team.
Exactly. It's football. It's football. It comes down to football. Simple as that. We've seen FCS teams win. As we said, Nichols winning. Appalachian State, he referenced as well.
South Dakota State probably should have beat Minnesota last night.
They should have. Yes, absolutely. We saw K-State almost lose to start the season last year. When Kansas State was number one in the nation, undefeated with Colin Klein, their first game of the year, they nearly lost.
Yeah.
So it can happen. Chris Klieman on his first game or the first game growing pains for a team. The first game growing pains. There are going to be some.
You always worry about it in the first game. I think everybody does, from, you know, false starts to delay of games to somebody jumping off sides to just having to call timeout because we don't have something right. We've tried to, you know, replicate as many of those things as we can in practice, but there's going to be some anxiety, and so some kids are going to make mistakes. And I think that's the thing that our coaches have talked about is, you know, we need to be patient. We're still only not even 40 practices, so we're going to have some issues, and we'll get those things ironed out. But I think for us not to show that we're anxious or have anxiety, I think we'll make the kids a little bit more at ease as well.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to being there at the game tomorrow night. You'll be there in the cushy press box up there. Oh, no, there are going to be storms coming in. We're going to have to, like, evacuate. It seems like every year for the last 5 years it's happened.
Not supposed to. The forecast I see says overcast and 78.
That'd be perfect.
That's insane for the first game of the season.
Absolutely.
I'm just crossing my finger, knock on wood there.
Yeah, I hope you didn't jinx that by saying that. Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that. It'll be interesting to see what K-State brings to the table and with their new coaching staff. And I'm really going to be glued to watching KU tomorrow morning as well, see what they do against their opponent, Indiana State. And the rest of the Big 12, we mentioned Oregon State will be hosting Oklahoma State tonight. Northern Iowa's at Iowa State. A lot of people like Iowa State this year. I think they're going to be, I'm going to say they're going to be 8-4, something like that, which will still be a good year. But I think there's some people expecting them to take a step forward, even, you know, challenge for the Big 12 title along with Oklahoma, Texas. And they might. Matt Campbell's done a great job. I don't know. I just got a feeling that they might be a little bit overhyped going into the season. Northern Iowa at Iowa State, that's tomorrow at 11 a.m. Indiana State at KU on Z96.3 Lake, 11 a.m. kickoff tomorrow. James Madison's at West Virginia. West Virginia, be interested to see what they do. James Madison's had a couple of close chances to beat big-time teams first game of the season. I think, wasn't it the, I want to say it was Florida 1 year they almost beat. Montana State is at Texas Tech at 3 o'clock tomorrow. Stephen F. Austin at Baylor at 6 o'clock. And then Nichols at K-State tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock. And Louisiana Tech will be at Texas at 7 o'clock tomorrow. Also tomorrow night, Arkansas Pine Bluff against Alex Delton, the starting quarterback. For how long? We shall see. For TCU. And Sunday night will be an interesting game to watch on ABC. Houston is at Oklahoma to take on the Sooners and their new quarterback, Alabama transfer and national championship winning quarterback, Jalen Hurts. So that'll be fun. I'm interested to see what Lincoln Riley does with Jalen Hurts. I'm going to say right now that this is the difference between Alabama and Oklahoma. And Alabama certainly won championships, and Oklahoma hasn't here recently. Oklahoma's more fun to watch in regards to their offense. Now, their defense has been deplorable. Alabama's defense hasn't been quite as good as it used to be, but their offense has gotten better. But, you know, if Jalen Hurts goes out and wins the Heisman and puts up numbers, like, just as good as Mayfield and Murray, isn't that an indictment on the Alabama coaching staff?
Yeah.
Definitely. You could argue, I guess, that, well, for what they wanted to do, that's just the way Jalen Hurts had to play. It's kind of interesting. I'm really, really intrigued by what Jalen Hurts can do at Oklahoma. He's not as fast, but he is a powerful runner. He makes really good decisions. He can throw the deep ball from what I've seen over the time at Alabama. He's a gamer. He's a winner. And Oklahoma might not be scoring 55 points a game or whatever it was last year. Their defense has improved, but I think Jalen Hurts is going to do a great job at Oklahoma. I do. I think it's going to be a really good match. So those are the matchups in the Big 12, which leads us to predictions. We've done this before, but we'll see if we've changed our mind. Who are you picking to win the Big 12 this year, Dusty?
I've still got Oklahoma.
You got Oklahoma? Yeah. Okay, I got Oklahoma winning it as well. Texas right there. And then I think next in order would probably be, you know, honestly, for me, it's either Iowa State or Oklahoma State would be next in my
mind. I've got them both tied for third. Okay. I said, you know, a couple weeks back, I thought Iowa State was going to kind of fall back, but I'm looking at their schedule. They got the favorable home games, you know, and it's like I just really feel like I've got them both 6-3 in the Big 12.
So we agree on Oklahoma. That's not really going out on a limb.
Yeah.
Okay, football playoff, your four teams. I'm boring. I went with Clemson, I went with Alabama, I went with Georgia, and I went with Oklahoma.
Exact same four for me.
Wow, this is boring.
We did not talk about this, by the way.
No, we didn't. Riley, we asked him the other day, he said LSU.
I thought about it, but I was like, I want to go.
They got eight starters back on both sides of the ball.
They were the last one I was thinking about before.
Tough schedule, though.
Went ahead with Georgia.
Tough schedule. Championship game, I got Clemson, Alabama again.
I went out on a limb and made it different this year and picked Clemson over Oklahoma.
No, I'd be okay. I think Clemson's going to win another one. I think the third in 4 years, they're going to go back to back. That's what I think.
Somebody got
to
slow them down. I don't know who can. I mean, with everything they've got, I mean, somebody's going to do it. Like, they'll slow them down.
So Clemson, you're picking to win?
Yeah. Okay. Can they slow them down enough to beat them is the question.
I don't know. Okay, so let's give our final predictions because the season starts tomorrow for KU and K-State. Brian Haney said yesterday 4 wins is what he's thinking. The voice of Jayhawks, 4-8. That was my prediction at KU. I'm going to stick with it. And your prediction at KU is?
3-9.
3-9. I have the KU winning 2 Big 12 games. You have them winning one.
Yep.
Okay. So that's pretty close. Before we get to your and my K-State prediction, what about Riley Gates, our Wildcat insider, every Tuesday, brought to you by Hanson Auction Realty and Heineken Electric there in Beloit? What does Riley of Go Power Cat think about K-State's win total this year under first-year head coach Chris Klieman?
I've gone back and forth a lot on this, and I think that there's some definite toss-up games that, and I think that, like K-State usually does, they'll probably win one that they shouldn't win and lose one that they shouldn't lose. But I'm going to lean on the side of optimistic, and I'm going to say 7-5. I really think that this was a 6, if not a 7-1 football team a year ago, and I think that they know that. Now they're more bought into the system, and I think they'll get back to that mark. So I'm going to go on the record of 7-5.
I hate to copy Riley, but I'm with him. I'm going to go 7-5. I've been tweening back and forth between 6-6, 7-5, kind of like KU 4-8, 5-7. And what holds me back with KU is a quarterback situation. With K-State, the only thing that holds me back is Skylar Thompson's health. He hasn't really proven to get through a whole season unscathed. I am worried about the backup quarterback position at Kansas State because I don't know if they have a clear-cut backup, kind of like KU doesn't have a clear-cut starter, thus the difference in the programs right now. But I think K-State, I do believe in this coaching staff at Kansas State. I think they're going to do things the right way. They are winning pedigree. They've won championships. I know not at this level. I think they're going to find a way. I think the Big 12 is more open in regards to, you know, after Oklahoma and Texas, I think K-State could beat anybody in this conference, and I think they could lose to anybody in this conference. And I think that applies to every one of those 8 teams I just mentioned.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you?
Oh, yeah.
So if that's the case, you're going to beat each other up a little bit. So if K-State goes 2-1 in the non-con, then they got to go 5-4 in the Big 12, and they're 7-5. That's assuming they lose to Mississippi State, which is not a guarantee they would.
Yeah.
Although they got rocked by them last year. I'm going to say 7-5. I thought 6-6, but I think they're going to find a way to get one somewhere. So I'm going to go, you know, Tech's not unbeatable. West Virginia, I think, is down a little bit. Baylor's, I think, going to be better than some people might think. Iowa State, I don't think, is going to be invincible. You don't figure they're going to be OU or Texas. You're assuming that you're going to, you know, if it goes 7-5, you probably got to win in Lawrence. So I guess you're kind of saying that. So 7-5, I'll say K-State 7-5.
I had them. I thought I had them 7-5, but I forgot I changed their last game against Iowa State. I originally thought they were going to win, but I changed it to a loss. So I got them 6-6.
Okay.
I got them being bowl eligible and losing their last 2 games. They're 6-4 starting.
Okay. So Ryan and I are just a little bit more optimistic than you.
Same with KU. You're just a little bit more optimistic.
Exactly.
Not a whole lot. Like, this is not anywhere near an exact science this year in the Big 12.
No.
I mean, it's just like a lot of years you can figure even, you know, the top 5 teams, this is probably how it's going to go.
Right.
But after 2, it's tough. I don't know where everybody's going to land.
Would you be surprised if somebody other than Oklahoma and Texas wins the Big 12?
I would.
I would be shocked.
Yeah.
I would too. Okay, I think the only team that can is Iowa State, possibly.
Yeah.
But I don't think TCU's, their quarterback situation is good enough at all.
No.
Okay, so let's shift gears to Nebraska. Scott Frost, listen, I've said it over and over, and I'll say it till I'm blue in the face. I think he's the perfect guy at Nebraska. I love the way he talks. I would run through a wall for this guy. I would. When I hear Scott Frost talk, and I know it sounds kind of monotone at times, but you can feel the inner passion. And you can just feel the drive in this guy. He doesn't like to lose. And not that any coach does, but he's a competitor. You can just feel it, even when he talks nice and calm. And he shoots straight. He's blunt to a point, especially last year. He inherited a bad situation. People don't realize how bad it was. He had some kids that he needed to get out of this program, so he was able to get a lot of them out, change the culture at Nebraska. And last year, despite all that, they were 4-8, and I still think that what really got them off on the wrong foot was Mother Nature ruining their first game, because I think they would have won that game, and I think then they would have won the second game against Colorado. I think they would have. Now, I don't know, but Colorado, a full game under their belt going to Nebraska. Nebraska under a new coach and coaching staff didn't even have a first game. They were behind the 8-ball there. So I think if you change that around and they're 2-0, then the whole season's different. And they had games that they flat-out blew. They just were a young team that made mistakes. Some guys that, you know, Scott Frost flat out threw him under the bus in the press conference, said, hey, some guys aren't making plays. Some guys are selfish, this and that. Well, he's getting this turned around in regards to getting the guys he wants on the field. And last year, 4-8, and some people are like, well, how can Nebraska be ranked? Well, 4-8, they could have easily been 7-5. Easily. I mean, super easily. But they found ways to lose games. So now, have they figured out how to win games? We're going to find out starting on Saturday when they take on South Alabama, a team that I would expect them to roll at 11 a.m. tomorrow morning at Memorial Stadium. Then they'll be at Boulder next Saturday at Colorado. And we're going to try to get on the play-by-play voice of the Colorado Buffaloes to talk about that one. John Bowden knows him pretty well, so we will see what we can do there. That'd be kind of cool to have a different perspective from the mountain time zone. That, and he can tell me where the great place to stay in Colorado for free. And then you got Northern Illinois. So if Nebraska can beat South Alabama, Colorado on the road, which is an if, no question, and Northern Illinois at home, then they go to Illinois week four, and Illinois, I don't think, usually isn't very good, not that great. You're 4-0. You're 4-0, and you get Ohio State, Northwestern at home, back-to-back weeks. Even if you lose Ohio State, you're five and one. Five and one start. Minnesota on the road, Indiana at home, at Purdue, Wisconsin at home, Maryland on the road, Iowa at home. That's not a daunting schedule. Last year it was murder, their schedule. There's no Penn State on the schedule this year. There's no Michigan State on the schedule. There's no Michigan on the schedule. The schedule is favorable for Nebraska. And when I look at the schedule and I go through it, I got win, 4-1, 5-1, 6-1, 7-1. I'll say lose 7-2, 7-3, 8-3. I got them winning 8 or 9 games.
Oh, yeah.
And they could easily win 10. If they could beat Wisconsin at home, I got them in losing that game, but they could easily do that. I got them losing at Purdue, and they could easily win that game. Nebraska, I think, is a team that is going to bounce back and have a really good year this year. 8-9 wins. Would you agree with that?
Oh, without question.
Okay, here's Scott Frost on the hopes for game one on Saturday for the Huskers.
Well, first and foremost, I told the team today that I want people to tell me when the game's over that our guys were flying around and looked fast, looked like we were playing fast in all three phases of the game. There's no sense dipping our toe in the water. We've been practicing fast. I want them to play that way on the field. Turnovers would be the second one that I told them. We didn't get our hands on enough balls on defense last year. Last year, even on our first drive, we turned it over and probably changed the first game. You got to do well in the turnover battle. We do those two things and execute at a good rate. It's hard to execute as efficiently in game one as you do later on in the year, but our guys have a lot of reps at what they're doing, so hopefully that's improved as well.
All right, Scott Frost, Nebraska opens their season tomorrow. There are certainly some expectations for the Huskers. Should be competing for a division title, which means that they aren't that far from playing in the Big Ten Championship game. If you're in the Big Ten Championship game, that usually means you have a shot at maybe the college football playoff. It is a favorable schedule. They start it tomorrow at home at 11 a.m. there at Memorial Stadium in Lincoln versus South Alabama. Let's shift gears to the National Football League, where the Chiefs finished their preseason last night. I didn't see a second of the game. I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't see any of it, didn't care to see any of it, because I knew none of the important players were going to play in this game. But the Chiefs did have a highlight or two offensively.
Shermer hands out, wants a left side throw. Fortson and a back shoulder throw. Touchdown, Kansas City. Taste the sweet nectar of the end zone.
Kyle Shermer, his numbers weren't bad. 14-21. He did throw a pick six going the other way for Green Bay. This game was at Lambeau last night. 36 Packer players did not suit up, including Aaron Rodgers. And the Chiefs rested all their key guys. Chiefs lose in Green Bay. They were down early, came back, tied it, but lost. 27-20 was the final. So the Chiefs go 1-3 in preseason, and all that stuff I just told you means absolutely jack squat. It means nothing at all. Chiefs start their season September 8th in Jacksonville. You can hear the Chiefs all season long on Z96.3 The Lake. The interesting thing is the Chiefs have until tomorrow afternoon, I believe it's 3 o'clock, to get down to their 53-man roster and the cut downs. There used to be level cuts, like you'd have to cut from a certain number to a certain number, then another cut, and then eventually a final cut. Well, that changed a few years ago in the National Football League, where everybody's cut on the same day, basically. Like today and tomorrow is when the Chiefs and every other NFL team have to decide, are we going to have four running backs or three? Are we going with seven wide receivers or six? What about this guy? What about third string quarterback? We've got Matt Moore. He's our backup. Mahomes is our starter. Those are the only two that are going to be active on game day, more than likely. So between Chase Linton and Kyle Shermer, one of them will probably be on the practice squad, and one, they're either going to cut or maybe try to trade somewhere. And I think that's what last night was a showcase, especially for Kyle Shermer, the rookie from Vanderbilt, that if he played well enough, maybe they could get a late draft pick for Shermer if they traded him to a team that needs some quarterback depth, which might be like the Colts now without Andrew Luck. So we'll talk more about the Chiefs, obviously, coming up next week as they get ready for their season opener on the road at Jacksonville. They'll be on the road at Oakland week two. The Chiefs start the season with two road games. But preseason last night, and there really wasn't much to talk about because none of it will impact what happens during the season. The Royals, what they do the rest of the year, really it doesn't impact much. They're 47-88. The Royals lose yesterday 9-8 to the Oakland Athletics. This game, Glenn Sparkman, like Les Norman has talked about, he'll have one good performance, then he'll just regress, and he's just not very consistent. I don't think he's an answer for the future rotation. Never have thought he was. But he struggled yesterday. Royals battled back, though, made it a game. Got within 8-7, but Liam Hendricks, former Royal, who's one of the best closers of baseball right now, he got him out of a jam, 5-out save. But the highlight, once again, for the Royals was Jorge Soler.
Last year, and there's a line drive to left field, and off the top of the wall, and gone. Number 37 for Jorge Soler, and RBI number 94.
Soler with a home run. He's now one away from tying Mike Moustakas' record from a couple years ago. The record is 38 in a season for a Royals player, and Soler now has 37. And there's an odd play yesterday late in the game when Chesley Cuthbert went into the dugout, near the dugout, and it was out of play, made a catch, but that allowed the A's to move up a base and get a run since he completely left the field to play. And that was an insurance run, and then the Royals scored 1 in the 9th to make it interesting, but they lose 9-8. Royals back in action. Should be a good one. I'm sure the place will be packed. The Baltimore Orioles at 44-89. Versus the Royals at 47-88, the first of, I believe, three. Eric Skoglund on the hill for the Boys in Blue tonight. Then tomorrow night, Jorge Lopez with ERA of 6.5. And then Sunday, Danny Duffy makes his return from the injured list. And then the Royals have Monday off, and then they will host Detroit. So the Royals have a 10-game homestand. Right now they're 1-3, as the A's were able to get it done yesterday and take 3 out of 4 from the Royals. Looking at the standings in regards to the wild card, let's pull that up because that's some of the closest races usually has to do with the wild card. And right now, Cleveland has a 1.5-game lead over Oakland. Oakland has a 1-game lead over Tampa Bay. Boston 5.5 back. So Cleveland and Oakland would play in the wild card game in Cleveland if the season ended today. Minnesota now has a 3.5-game lead over Cleveland, and they have an easier schedule the rest of the way. They lead the Central. The Yankees lead the East, and the Houston Astros lead the West. So basically it comes down to Cleveland, Oakland, Tampa Bay, perhaps Boston if they get hot for the last two wild card spots. In the National League, when it comes to the wild card, you got the Nationals who have been playing really good lately. They have a 2.5-game lead over the Cubs. The Cubs would be at the Nationals to start the season if it ended today in a 1-game playoff in the wild card. The Phillies are 2.5 back, Milwaukee 4 back, Arizona 4.5 back, and the Mets 5 back. So there's more teams involved in the wild card in the National League. Your division leaders right now, the Cardinals, who only have a 1.5-game lead over the Cubs, so that could change in that division. The Cardinals lead the Central, the Dodgers lead the West, and the Braves lead the East. So that's your update on Major League Baseball. Former Jayhawk Aaron Miles really moving up the coaching ranks very quickly. Of course, he was outstanding point guard at the University of Kansas and was part of Final Four teams. He is now the new player development coach with the Golden State Warriors. That's a pretty big deal. Huge. Maybe he'll be the next coach of the Golden State Warriors 5 years from now. He really is highly respected, and they say he's really a good coach. Yeah. One of the young up-and-comers in the NBA. That's interesting.
Yeah.
He said that about Jacques Vaughn, too. That didn't work out so well. But Aaron Miles, I think, is a little bit more personable than Jacques Vaughn, from what I understand.
Yeah. He was part of the Pop coaching tree, so I think that's probably why they said that about Jacques Vaughn.
Probably so.
Yeah.
Probably so. And the U.S. Open, Dusty's paying a lot more attention to the U.S. Open than I am right now, so I'll just hand over to Dusty. What's going on in the U.S. Open?
Yeah, there were some upsets yesterday on the women's side Simona Halep, who won the Wimbledon, has been knocked out already.
By Taylor Townsend, American.
Yes. Yes, so some upsets over there happening. Men's has been pretty straightforward right now. Coco Gauff is one we're kind of been paying attention to in Wimbledon, unseeded American. She's into round three, but her next opponent is Naomi Osaka, who won the championship last year. So, it's kind of – I have a more in-depth look at it on Sportscast coming up at noon. But looking forward to that Coco Gauff-Naomi Osaka third-round matchup.
Venus got eliminated yesterday. Serena's still alive. Yep. Who wants to win the women's side?
That's what he's like. Everybody, like I said, Sloane Stephens loses in the first round.
Madison Keys had a good season.
Right? Madison Keys is still in.
Yeah, she has a chance to do something, no question.
Yeah.
And the men, it's the regular people, pretty much.
I mean, it's
Djokovic, Federer. Nadal got a walkover yesterday.
Yeah, he didn't have to
Guy
play.
Got hurt.
Yeah.
That'll help him down the
line,
I would
exactly.
think. Federer has lost the first set of his first two matches.
Yeah.
But then just took the charge.
He he doesn't get phased.
No,
when he loses a set, no matter when it happens.
He
it
doesn't.
And he's one of those guys. Like if I'm getting buried right now, I'm just gonna like. I'm going to go through the motions, get this set over with, and I'm going to bring it back.
I'll bring it back. Turn on the
switch.
They're
not going to have a chance in the next one.
Yeah, exactly. So they're into the third round at U.S. Open there in Flushing Meadows in New York.